Alles begann mit einer Wette. Das könnte so der Anfang von so einer romantischen Liebeskomödie sein. Ein Film, in dem sich Frau und Mann die ganze Zeit versuchen zu bekommen, aber es nicht so richtig klappt. Am Ende sie sich dann aber doch lieben, bis an ihr Lebensende verheiratet sind. Haus mit Garten, zwei Kinder und ein Golden Retriever. Tatsächlich ist es aber der Anfang von Sam Tompkins Karriere. Mittlerweile spielt er ausverkaufte Konzerte. Justin Bieber zählt zu einem seiner größten Fans und auch die beiden standen schon gemeinsam auf der Bühne. Welchen wichtigen Tipp Justin Bieber Sam Tompkins mitgegeben hat und was diese Wette jetzt mit Sam Tompkins Karriere zu tun hat, darüber geht es in diesem sehr, sehr schönen, sehr, sehr deepen Gespräch. Welcome, Sam.
Hello, how are we?
Hello, so nice to have you here. So could you tell us a little bit about that bat? Because that really got me when I read about it, that It all happened, not because, but it was like a bit of a start.
Well, it all started when I was 16 and it'd just been my birthday. And I'd been given some money from my mum to sort of, I don't know, go into Brighton, my local city, and mm-hmm. I don't know. Just tear it up, really, and I spent it really quickly, and it meant that when I went into this shop and saw this hat that I really wanted, because I'm a hat guy, I've been wearing hats whole life. I came out of the womb wearing a hat, and it's been that way ever since. I wanted this hat, and I couldn't afford it, so I went to my friends. I was like, "Oh, can I borrow some money?" And they were like, "No, we're like literally 15 years old. Like, we have no money ourselves. We're not going to give you any." But they were like, they knew I could sing, but I was always like quite nervous. And they were like, they just sort of dared me to go out on the street and see mm-hmm. if I could make enough money to get the hat. So I did, and I actually did make enough money. And
awesome.
And then I started doing it every weekend because I was like, money. And I was like really excited about being able to make my own money for once. It changed my life, changed the course of the history of my life.
So. Yeah, that gives me goosebumps because it's not like, this is not something you could make up. This is actually life that just happens. Yeah. Like it tells the greatest stories. So in Germany, there's a saying, and I was wondering if mm-hmm. that maybe is a little bit true for yourself. I don't know if you have it in the UK, though. It's a saying that somebody, like the people around you, have to force you into your own luck because you're maybe not able to just grab it yourself because you don't mm-hmm. believe enough in yourself, but they see something that you don't see in yourself. Do you think, like at that very young age, it was a little bit also like that with your friends? Like he can sing, maybe he's too shy, but just go out there and just grab what you deserve?
No, I don't actually know. I think as like all great friends do, I think they wanted me to embarrass myself. You know what I mean? Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they wanted me to do really well. They just like, this would be hilarious if you like totally screwed it up. But no, they, I owe a lot to them either way. And, but I think, yeah, a lot of my confidence comes from my friends and people around me. Cause I lack it sometimes. And my manager will say something to me and, you know, I think that is still like really true to my life, and mm-hmm. I would like to think that that is maybe how it happened that day. But actually, when I think about it, and like who I was friends with at the time, and you know, and my age, I reckon they were like, I really hope his voice breaks and he embarrasses himself.
But that's the best friends, right?
Yeah, they're the best friends. Yeah,
they don't want anything like negative to you, but also not everything positive.
No, they definitely wanted the best for me, and I owe them a lot. I'm just joking around.
Yeah, and as you said, you just loved it and did it over and over again. What did playing in the street was like a really hard thing to do, a really hard crowd, because just like people passing by and you really have to grab their attention somehow. What did that teach you?
So basically, with performing, up until that point, the reason I think my friends knew is like that I could sing is just because I uploaded a couple YouTube videos and stuff mm-hmm. up until that point. But I hated performing in front of people I knew. Like I absolutely hated performing. Because at that age, you're basically either performing in front of your like peers at school, and I got scared of being bullied, so I didn't want to do that. And or my parents, and I always was like, I do not want to sing in front of my mum and dad, like that's really embarrassing. So busking was perfect because it was strangers that I would never see again. So that like fear never really came there. Like I was fine. Like my friends, I told my friends to like wait round the corner until I was done. And then I literally made enough money that day. And like being, it just helped so much. And then, like, sort of doing it in front of strangers meant I could do it in front of anyone. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, like, I didn't really care about, like, I would still find it hard today to just sing in front of my mum.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It's something about, like, an intimate situation where I'm just singing to my mum or to, like, my girlfriend or mm-hmm. to, like, I'd find that a lot more difficult and scary than, like, thousands of people I don't know.
Okay.
Because, like, that it's the conversation after. And that's what I liked about busking is that I would never see any of these people ever again. And they would never, and that, like, sometimes they'd come up to me, but they would be, like, so fleeting. They'd be like, oh, really good. And they'd give me some money. And I'd be like, cool, transactional behavior. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I found that less intimidating than, like, someone I knew.
So is it more the fear about the feedback then? Or...
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, feedback and also just, like, conversation. Because I'm quite an awkward person. Like, I'm doing a great job of masking it now. But I am, like, quite awkward. Like, I find conversation really, really difficult. Especially, I don't like to talk about myself. So when someone says, like, this was a really nice thing that you did with your music.
Yeah.
I find that really hard.
I
find that really hard, but obviously we're in an interview today, so I can't really be like that.
Yeah, that would have been my next question. So although you hate that so much, we're sitting here, you're doing, like, your radio promo tour in Germany, first time.
Yeah.
So how did something change? Or did you change maybe? Or do you have, like, a Sasha Fierce Beyoncé, like, persona that you turned into? Or why was there still this big, big dream to pursue this career then?
I always knew I didn't want to do, like, a normal 9-to-5 job. Like, I liked football when I was younger and I was good at football. And I thought at that time when I was a kid, really young, thought I'd be a footballer. So I never really worried. And then it got to 11, 12 and was like, oh, I'm not even going to do that. And then I started, like, skating and I got good at that. And I thought, oh, I'll be able to do that for the rest of my life. And then I got to 15, 16. Throughout all these years, I always loved singing. And I was just like, I'm just going to pursue this because this feels like the most true to me.
Okay.
And it feels like the thing I've been the best at my whole life. Like, I've been enjoying this my whole life to sing. But also, like, I've been good at it the whole time. And I've always felt like I'm as good as anyone I see on TV. And, like, I had this confidence that I didn't really have with football. Like, I would always be like, I want to be like that one day. And, like, with skating, I want to be as good as him one day. With singers, I always thought, like, I'm as good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
I always felt like, I felt really confident at this weird confidence because not like I'd never been told that I was bad. I just, the only bad stuff I'd ever had was people were, like, just saying it was embarrassing that I was trying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the confidence was always there.
Good.
And, but in terms of, like, talking and stuff, like, it just, like, in interviews like this, like, the confidence for that comes from just, like it's what's been really good about my journey is it's been, like, super gradual. So, like, it's not like yesterday I was working in retail and today I'm, like, here. Like, it's been, like, a really gradual process that I'm really proud of to have done rather than, like, an overnight success. Like, it's been a long thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just, I've gradually got better at things.
That's good. Yeah, I think that's the better way to do it, actually. Maybe the more healthier way also to do it. Let's talk about this later on. But maybe, no, let's talk about it now. So you say that you've got, like, problems being so open in conversations, but in your songs, it's, like, the most vulnerable, like, open, one of the, like, amazing, not only your lyrics that are, like, I love lyrics and yours are but also your voice, like, just even if I didn't understand a word you were saying, like, just your voice hits, like, so much. So why can you be so open and so vulnerable in music? Was it always the only way to really, like, express yourself?
I think what it was is that from, like, when I started songwriting, or, like, saying I was starting songwriting, I was really bad at, like, 15, 16 to, like, 19, 20, I was writing from a totally non-personal perspective. And but I also think that I had dealt with things in my life, but I hadn't really gone through much at, like, 17, 18. And then, like, when I was, like, 19, like, one of my mates passed away. And I think, like, I really struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I've always been a sensitive, emotional mm-hmm. person. I've always, like, been fine with crying. And, I am okay with talking about how I feel with people I love and I trust. But with music, I always kept to myself. And then I think I wrote a song about him mm-hmm. Passing away. And I posted it like a clip on YouTube. And I think everyone just really liked it. And I think that was when I was just like, oh, like, that's maybe what I should be doing.
Because mm-hmm.
until then, I don't think anyone really got what I was doing. And I'm like, I don't think I even understood. And it wasn't like I had a sound or anything. And it was more like I realised that if I talk about stuff that's really important to me, doesn't really matter what it sounds like, as long as it's good. Do you know what I mean? And and like it feels like real, then I think people will understand. And that sort of led me to here. And I think that's really what got me to where I am. Is mm-hmm. the honesty.
Yeah, beautiful. And I heard you saying in an interview that you say, "I love playing music through and through. If for some reason there were that were to disappear from my life, you would see no point in that." Mm. That's the thing that drives you. Mm. Where does this like really deep, really like essential, like life depending kind of always feels like passion for music come from? Is it some like the way you were raised or what?
No, I wasn't really raised in a typically musical family. Mm-hmm. Like they like music as much as the next person. Like my mum liked Michael Jackson and
for
my
sure,
dad
the classics.
And like Stevie Wonder and my dad liked Nina Simone and like stuff like that. And but like I really, my passion came for music is because I think it was like a mixture of like, as I said earlier, like I didn't want to do a regular 9-to-5 job. Like I couldn't see that for myself. Like I don't think I would be, I would have been satisfied. And I wanted to have a life. I've always wanted to have like a really exciting life that like I can be proud of. You know what I mean? And I think when it came to doing, music, the passion was just, I don't know. I just felt I've never with music from a young age. Whereas with like football and skating when I was younger, like I think with the dreams, they felt like dreams. They felt like I feel like there's a ceiling, but with music I never felt a ceiling. I never felt like because it's creative, I never felt like it had like an end goal. I just thought I'll just keep going and going and going, I can get better at this and better and better. But with football and skating, like I feel like my inner fears would stop me from going anywhere with skating. And with football, like I'm not as quick as everyone else, and like that's I don't know if I'm as dedicated. With singing, I was just like, I think I haven't got a ceiling with this, and that gave me that's a passion nice. That I don't really
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. The more you talk about it, it just feels like it was so much meant to be. Mm. Like it's just really, it just gives me that feeling. Maybe you can't see it when you're like in the process yourself, but it just feels like yes, like you are exactly where you are meant to be.
Thank
this
you.
This is such a like you couldn't even help yourself like becoming a musician. So that's really, really, really cool. So jump cut to like a really heartbreak to your viral TikTok song "To the Moon" because then it all happened. How was the moment? Maybe where were you at? Where were you at mentally when you saw this happening and you were like, "Ooh, shit! This is like really going real. Like there's happening something."
"To the Moon's a really interesting one because it's sort of just because basically it stemmed from a cover that I'd done months prior, maybe like 6 months prior. And it was like, I just remember thinking, this is, and it was sort of, that cover was going viral. And I was remember thinking, this is awesome. Like so cool that so many people are like tuning in to what I'm doing. And I was like, this is awesome.
Is it this phone?
Yeah. Not me. Don't worry.
Thank you.
No, that's all right. I remember the cover going viral and thinking, oh, this is, like, really, really cool. And then I guess, like, after that, like, it was, like, a 6 months of like that cover doing really well, mm-hmm. sort of slowly, and like people being like, oh, you're the guy who did that Talking to the Moon cover, mm-hmm. and I was sort of enjoying it, and then the Junior Choi's song came out, mm-hmm. and yeah, it started sort of growing, and I guess it was just weird hearing my voice like all over TikTok, and like the weirdest one was like the bit where it all like sort of I realized was like it was like 2021 going into 2022, mm-hmm. and everyone was making these like end of year reels videos. Everyone was using that.
Yeah, I remember
that song, and it was like millions, and I was like, this is crazy, mm-hmm. and then it just grew from there, and it's something I'm proud to be a part of, but like I guess like really and truly like for me the coolest thing was like when everyone was my cover originally went mm-hmm. crazy, because I was going through a bit of a hard time at the time when I posted that, and that really came from the heart, that cover, do you know what I mean?
So yeah. But I mean, how pure is it that like some pure art that really is like felt so pure in that moment that this was the one that blew up? Like, isn't it? It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really nice.
Yeah,
it is really nice.
So how did you cope with that then? Like saying that you don't want to like people close to you listen to your voice and to do all the TikToks, and then you saw them all over and they were like, I am the annoying person behind this TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
sorry,
I think
guys.
I think it probably did get to a point where I was like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be like the guy that's like just famous, because it's not my song either. It's not a song that I wrote. So I think that was something that was like not hard to take, because I was really enjoying that was doing well. But there was a part of me that was like, I really want one of these for myself. So I think it just drove me to like start writing better and do better, you know what I mean, for myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I mean, then from then it like it all happened. Of course, it gave you some attention, not only from the fans sharing all these TikToks and videos, but also like really like Justin Bieber, Sam Smith, Elton John, you name it. Like they're all like your fans. Mm. So how did that feel that you've been like working for something so long and then you finally have it?
Mm.
And then what? Was there a moment of now what?
Yeah, I get that. I get that frequently in my life. Like I've always like, you know, I used to get that frequently in my life, I'd say. Like, I feel like when you're, like, climbing, it's not that I'm nowhere near the top. Like, I don't know. But, like, I feel like you get to certain things and you have a certain achievements. And, like, you can either really appreciate them in the moment or still be focused on what the next one's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think I've had a hard time of, like, appreciating those moments, because I'm quite an anxious person. I'm like, what's coming next though? Like, what do I have to do next to get to the next bit? I think like one of the main things that I've been trying to teach myself is that, you know, like I'm good enough wherever I am. I mean, I think that's like sort of really, that's sort of like how I deal with all that. But yeah, I've definitely had times where I'm like, oh, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, even though I should be like really happy about what's going on right this second, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's one of the hardest challenges we have, I think, in the moment. Like, yeah, I count us as young people, but the younger generation, like, because you always see someone better, like, especially on social media and TikTok and whatever, and like, okay, now I've reached something, but she is more beautiful. She has the better style, but they are more successful. So what's next for me? So that's also my biggest challenge in life, for sure. What's helping that there were like so many, like Justin Bieber, he brought you up on stage, he was sharing your covers and Sam Smith. Was that helping? Like, did he give you advice or something like that? He feels the same and look at him now, like where he's now.
Yeah, I've had advice like that from Justin. Like I think that's what helped me realize is that, you know, you can either like get to the absolute top and like and be like, oh, I wish I'd appreciate it, or like, you know, or you can enjoy the climb, you know what I mean? And that's something that is really important to me, and I'm trying to just make sure that I appreciate every little thing that I get at the moment, because I bet who knows when time's up, you know what I mean?
What a relief to hear though, right? Like, okay, like it takes some pressure off your shoulders, right? Because it's okay, he's also experiencing that as well. And then it's like,
I think every artist experiences it. I think on every level, like, and like most humans experience it who are trying to achieve something, like that climb is almost like the best part, and you just don't really realize it sometimes until you've got the achievement, and then it's too late. Well, not too late, but it's too late to like have basked in the moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for sure. Like, it's cheesy, but it's just how it is. Like, enjoy the ride and everything.
Totally how it is.
So, like, speaking of mental health right now, we're just, like, really into the topic. It's a big topic about, like, in your music and your lyrics as well. Maybe you can take us a little bit behind the process of your songwriting, especially when you write such personal lyrics, because they are like really, what I love about them is that they are, first of all, just really genius and clever and good, and the second thing is that you're really super personal and super, like, you're always talking about a concrete situation or a concrete feeling, but they're still super relatable. So how do you manage to do that?
I think the main focus when I'm writing music is like, what's this going to do for me in terms of like, how is this going to make me feel? I try and serve myself and my feelings as much as possible, because I think when you do that, you like open up the possibility for other people to resonate and connect. I always sometimes think like, oh, have I done this? Like, is this too like narrow-minded, too niche? Like, are people going to get this feeling? But there's always someone who can connect to something on a lyric, you know what I mean? And, whether that's like, some people interpret songs totally different to how I wrote them, and that's like really good, because it's like you don't have to look at everything like in a linear way. Like, things can be really up for debate, you know. Like, I'm fine with my music, one of my songs being about maybe like a relative that's no longer here with me, but someone is thinking it's taking it more like it's about a breakup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's really special. And I think that's one of the nice things about music is like interpretation.
For sure. So nice. Maybe last question. I think we're running out of time. But you're coming back to Germany, right? You're playing Rock am Ring.
What's that?
Like, you're playing a big festival, right?
Yes. No. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. We're not doing that now.
Oh, it's still like you still were in.
Oh yeah, basically my mum's getting married. So I have to go to see my mum get married.
Of course you do, but you're still on the lineup. Then I'm sorry. I was like, normally I do my research very well.
No, it's okay. I think it's a thing that we're trying to figure out at the moment, which is a shame.
Sorry, of course, I mean, mom is always first. Will you play at your mom's wedding?
Yeah, it's the only wedding I'll ever play is my mum's wedding.
Really?
Or like if really special circumstances for like a friend or like, but my mum, I've always said I will play. I've written a song and stuff, so.
Really, for that special occasion, and she's never like heard it's the first time she's coming here?
No, basically, she was supposed to get married in 2020 when COVID hit, and I wrote the song for her, and she was getting quite down about it, so I think we did like, you know when everyone was doing Zooms and stuff?
Yeah,
for sure.
I
like sent her the recording of the song, and she sang it, and so she listened to it like in the kitchen with her her fiancé. So. Yeah.
That will be special. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.